Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Sonam Raghuvanshi. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Heritage Foods Limited for Q1 FY23. Today we have with us the management represented by Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sudhir N. Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer, Ms. Umakanta Bali, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that the remarks today might include forward-looking statements, and the actual results may differ materially from those contemplated by the forward-looking statement. Any statement we make on this call today is based on our assumption as on date, and we have no obligation to update these statements as a result of new information or any future events. I would now like to invite Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao from Heritage Foods to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sonam. A very good afternoon to everyone joining us today on this call. We welcome you all to this Q1 FY23 earnings call of Heritage Foods. Let me start by giving you an overview of the financial and operational highlights for the quarter one. Consistent with our performance over last many quarters, our consolidated revenue for Q1 registered a robust growth of 27% year-on-year at 8,209 million rupees. The EBITDA during this period stood at 220 million rupees compared to 299 million in Q4 of FY22. During the quarter, the PAT stood at 73 million rupees. In spite of our solid revenue growth, unprecedented increases in raw milk procurement costs and overall operational costs suppressed the quarter's net profits. Now let us look at the operational aspects of our business in detail. In the dairy business, our average milk volume procured during Q1 stood at 1,466,000 liters per day, compared to 1,214,000 liters during the corresponding quarter previous year, registering a growth of 20.76% year-on-year. While on the sales side, our average milk sales during Q1 recorded an increase of 15% year-on-year, whereas curd, which is our most important value-added product in our portfolio, registered a massive growth of 45.4% during this quarter. Revenue from the value-added products portfolio grew solidly by 62.5% year-on-year to 2,838 million rupees in Q1 compared to 1,746 million rupees in the Q1 of last year. I am pleased to inform you all that this helped our VAP business contribution to increase by an impressive 750 basis points year-on-year to reach 34.9% of overall dairy revenue in the quarter one. Despite this quarter's suppressed profitability, our sustained volume growth, especially in the value-added portfolio, gives us the confidence in recovering profitability in the coming quarters of flush season when raw material, raw milk procurement prices are expected to cool off. The company's primary mission, as you know, is to delight every home with the quality products. In line with our plan, during the quarter under review, we have launched new value-added products like Gulab Jamun and Rasgulla in time for the festive season, buttermilk in cups addressing the new consumer segments, and ghee in differentiated and convenient spout packs. These launches further strengthen our value-added product portfolio and will strengthen our push towards becoming a more diversified value-added foods company. The company is also constantly taking strategic initiatives to connect with our consumers better. Our marketing strategies are being redesigned to better our understanding of changing consumer preferences and behavior patterns. This helps us designing winning, differentiated, high-quality products. As we demonstrate sequential solid demand growth for our products, we are making concerted efforts to improve our profitability, procuring milk at reasonable cost amid generally lower yields from cattle would also be a near-term focus for the company in the coming quarters. We are also taking many long and short-term cost efficiency initiatives to reduce our cost of conversion and cost to serve. We are happy to inform that we are already seeing significant progress on both these counts and are confident of delivering better value to our shareholders in the coming quarters. Now we open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Digant Dharia from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
So my first question, firstly, congratulations on finishing 30 years and you started the 31st year with probably all-time high quarterly growth. So, I analyzed like last 24, 25 quarters, we have been struggling in the 600 to 700 crores per quarter range. And now we have straight away broken out to cross 800 crores a quarter. So my first question was, is this run rate sustainable? Was there any one-off in this quarter that may not continue for the next 3, 4, 5 quarters? If you can give some more elaborate details on, what all did we do to reach such high levels of value-added product sales and milk sales and milk procurement as well. So that's my first question. I'll, take the second question later.
Sure. Sridip will respond to this.
Yeah. Thank you, Vikas, for that question. Thank you for your good wishes for our 30th anniversary. The growth that we have seen in this particular quarter is actually consistent with the trend that we've been seeing in the last 3 or 4 quarters. There are many fundamental things that have fallen in place as far as our strategy is concerned, which gives us confidence in terms of ongoing performance in similar lines. So there are 2 or 3 things here. One is more predictability as far as our growth and volume numbers are concerned. Number 2 is a shift towards value-added products, which is more engineered rather than accidental. And number 3 is growth in the geographic segments where we want growth to happen. So we are very happy to say that we are progressing well on the strategic priorities that we spoke in the previous quarterly updates. And it's those efforts which has resulted in the outcome that we are seeing.
Right. So Shriji, safe to assume that this should not be a one-off quarter. Like, there was no extra sales of fat sales or, any special order from a bulk customer. We don't do that. We've never done it in the past, but just because of the huge revenue, I wanted to be sure that this looks more like a sustainable run rate.
Absolutely, because first of all, in this particular quarter, we have not made even 1 rupee of any bulk or institutional sales. There's absolutely none. In fact, on the base revenues, we might have some bulk sales. So, despite having the base, bulk sales or bulk revenue sitting in the base quarter, without that, just through consumer product sales, we have achieved these numbers. Like I mentioned before, we have the strategy is on 4 steps actually. There's no, as far as market growth is concerned. Of course, I'm speaking only the market-facing strategies that we have put in place. First is to have segment our portfolio into 6 consumer-centric product clusters. We said that no, we are looking at liquid milk separately, dairy foods, dairy drinkables, dairy sweets, dairy fats, and ice creams and frozen desserts separately. Because we are looking at product clusters differently, we are able to also decide on what's the fit-for-purpose route-to-market that makes these products available in the hands of the consumer in the most efficient manner. The third thing that we have looked at is innovations that are consumer-centric. And in these last many quarters, we have made several corrections, not just in terms of launching new products, but we have recalibrated our pack, price, channel architecture to make our products perform much better on the shelf. And the fourth thing is a new format or a new framework for engaging with customers, especially our key national as well as regional customers, which are helping us get tremendous growth and gain market share as well. So there is a very clear plan in place which is being executed, which is resulting in the kind of growth that we are seeing.
Right. Thank you so much for this detailed answer. My second question is that you in the last call, clearly explained that what we are doing to fight inflation. You explained 3 points, that one is smart sourcing, second was basically operating efficiency, and third was with increasing value-added products. So in this quarter, we at least saw the value-added products increase, but even then, the margins are probably at 24 quarter low. So, revenue is at 24 quarter high and margins are at 24 quarter low. So is this mostly attributable to the milk inflation we are seeing across the country? And if this continues for 3-4 quarters, is it even fair to assume that we'll reach 6-7% margins with this kind of a milk sourcing challenges?
Yes. See, those margin expansion strategies are that you discussed just now, that we spoke about in the previous quarters, are directional in nature. Those are continuing activities. For example, expansion of gross margins through reduction of operational costs is a continuous process. We have, at this point in time, at least 8 projects of significant nature which will help us reduce our cost of production significantly over the next many months. Now, these projects are, the reason why I said continuous in nature is that at this point in time, as we are executing these projects, we are looking at other options or other projects that will kick in once these are completed. Similarly, there are many other stuff that we are working on in terms of reducing our outward freight or inward freight through conversion of more and more of our vehicles to electric, reducing dependency on fuel costs, inflations, etc. That said, what happened in the first quarter, and this is not just, we are not the only, the ones that got impacted. This impact was felt across industries, across FMCG, across dairy industries. It was almost like a perfect storm. On one hand, we had global inflationary pressure due to the ongoing war and many other aspects. Specific to our industry, there was severe milk shortage which was felt across the country, which was reported by many large cooperative companies as well. And it was a combination of this which impacted the profitability the way that it did. while raw material prices or milk prices is something that you know, has to cool off once the flush season begins to happen, and we have already seen cooling off to a certain extent in the last, I should say, 45 days. But the other things, let's say, for example, inflationary pressure on input raw, input material, packaging material, or fuel cost, it's not something that we can be assured of. So we have put several things in place to see, you know, whether it is alternate packaging materials or alternate ways of reducing costs to fight off these inflation pressures. So those are things that are already put in motion, and we are making good progress against those.
All right, thanks for that. My last question is for, you know, Ms. Brahmi and Mr. Rao, that actually in the last decade, you know, like we had this heritage fresh stores, you know, where we spent certain time and energy, then we sold it off to Future Group. That also, our Future Group also went through its own share of volatility. And then probably, you know, that consumed a lot of time and energy. But now, you know, like, can we really say that, you know, all those things of the past are over and company is, you know, completely focused on this new things? Like, you know, there are no vestiges of that, you know, that phase where everybody went into ventures which were away from the dairy segment. So that's just my last question.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Right. Yeah. That's thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thank you for taking my question. First of all, two bookkeeping questions, milk procurement prices and liquid milk prices this quarter.
Liquid milk procurement price, liquid milk sale price.
Yeah, right? We used to give these numbers like some time back. Yes. But, yeah.
Yeah, just a moment. You are ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Murthy will give. Yeah.
Yeah, procurement prices in the quarter given around 40 rupees 77 paisa per liter, and whereas the selling prices are at about 53 rupees 93 paisa.
Thank you. It's an average of all variables.
So, sir, there is an equal increase in liquid milk price and milk procurement price. There is a 15% kind of a sales growth in liquid milk. So, is our VAP portfolio currently at a lower gross margin than our liquid milk portfolio? Because otherwise, sequentially, our gross margin should not drop, right?
Yeah, just a moment.
Sale price 49 rupees 16
paisa. Yeah. He has given an average of all products of milk together. Only milk if you take?
49.16.
Yes. Amir, is it clear?
No, sorry. I didn't get it. I thought you were talking internally.
No. Milk procurement price average per liter is 40 rupees 77 paisa.
Right.
Liquid milk sale price is 49 rupees.
16 paisa.
What he earlier said was an average realization of milk and all products put together. You ignore that.
Okay. Got it. But again, since that average is also there and it's pretty healthy, sequentially our okay, but the sequential that I'm looking at might be of the liquid milk price. So, sir, so my second question is this, and this is based on these data points only, that here on we are at a gross margin which is one of the lowest, and we are our milk procurement in a lean quarter is at 1.5 million, which is one of the highest, and at a time when, you know, the milk prices are supposed to be high. So is this a mistake by chance that we have had and not have had enough SMP stocks that led to this situation?
Not having
So typically you procure more in a plus season so that it lasts in a lean season. What I see is that milk procurement is one of the highest this quarter, and that too in a lean season where generally milk availability is lower and hence milk prices are higher. So have we made a mistake this time that we didn't procure enough in our plus season, and now it is being paid in the in terms of margin pressures in 1Q, or is that understanding wrong?
Yeah, you need not call it a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strategy to grow. See, we wanted to raise sale volumes. The typical milk procured in the flush season gets converted into milk powder, and it is used as an additional factor in the curd or other products, also for reconstituting the milk. So irrespective of that, the growth has to come from the milk only. So we have grown on the sales side consciously. As the milk prices cool off, then the benefit of margins will kick in as soon as possible. So it's a base expansion.
Got it, sir. Got it. That's very...
Because the milk prices will not remain same throughout the year. I mean, if you go by the trend, there are two cycles or three cycles in a year where milk prices fluctuate. And the lowest are expected to be in the winter months after the rains, when the animal's yield is very high. And that's the time we get milk at a lower price. And certain excess milk will be converted and kept in the powder form for the summer season. That continues as an operation every year. But this lean season growth is something which we can sustain in the flush season, and we'll have much more milk in flush season, coming flush season.
Okay, sir. Just a follow-up to that. Let us suppose, you know, because I have seen this in the past 2-3 years, what has happened is for some reason or the other, the milk prices are not very favorable in the flush season either. Sometimes there are unseasonal rains, sometimes there are late rains. So assuming that these milk prices don't correct in the flush season to our expectations, will we be willing to increase our end consumer prices so that our margins stabilize back to our 6-7% range, or we'll still, you know, weather the storm and see, wait for another, you know, better period of cooling of these milk prices?
No, we have already taken price hike towards the end of the quarter, and the price benefit is a bit, there is a lag between the procurement price and sales price increases, and there is a, we have not taken full hike also. So one round of hike has been done in the quarter one, another price hike will happen in quarter two. So therefore we try to reach the margin levels as it were earlier. Already that process is on.
Great, sir. But I still heard that, you know, with the flush season, the prices will cool off and our margins will come back. I understand that is the normal course of operations. But let's say, you know, because these are quite unpredictable times, the milk prices for some reason don't cool off, will we be willing to take more price hikes, or we will be thinking that this is just a one-off and, you know, let's just wait the season out and just 1 year of depressed margins is okay?
Yeah, there are two elements, Samir, for margin buildup, as you know. One is the procurement price cooling off. Second is the sale prices increase for end consumer. So both the levers we operate. Only thing, we don't stretch passing on entire price burden to consumer in one go. It is staggered. Two, if somewhere we see the prices of farm gate prices are falling, then we stop there to, you know, build the volumes. So it's a kind of a careful synchronization of both the trends. It's not that we just wait for the prices to cool off only. That is one of the two elements. And third element is also there, as increasing the contribution of value-added products where the margin is slightly better. So we play with all the levers in such a way that we gain market share and we recover over the profitability levels as early as possible. But the lag always will be there.
Fair enough, sir. If I can squeeze just one more question with your
yes.
permission. So now we are also in a sort of expansionary phase where milk procurement has gone up by 21% on a YOY basis. and we are expanding our value-added portfolio, which would imply that we are, you know, reaching out to more distribution touch points, typically which don't have a heritage product. Does that also put downward pressure on our margins? I know it won't be very high, but something that we should factor in?
No. Because we are operating in the same regions where we have operated, and the more and more we deepen our penetration in these markets, what we are experiencing at this point in time is that our net revenues have improved, even though in quarter one it is only, as in you can only see part of this improvement, but in the last, like I said, in the last 30-40 days, we have seen significant improvement in net revenue. And number two, our cost of operation, whether it is in terms of efficiencies of those plants in those geographies or in terms of market discounts and other sales and distribution costs, have all seen significant improvement. So you can imagine that, let's say, a truck in one of these marginal markets earlier was carrying 50% load and hence cost of operation was higher. Today is carrying 70% or 80% of truck utilization in these markets. So costs are constantly coming down for us in these marginal markets. And we do not, heritage, right from the beginning, we do not, if you are consumers, you will also know from the markets that we do not go for deep discount kind of strategy because our products sell because they are high quality products. And all this growth we have got with just purely by acquiring more and more consumers and not at a discount.
Thanks, sir. That's all from me. I'll come back in the queue if I have any follow-ups.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be if you could give me the number of the contribution of the non-curd products in the value-added segment for this quarter and for last year also.
Can you repeat, Mr. Roy?
So in the value-added segment, the non-curd portfolio, what would be the share of that for in Q1 and for the entire financial year 2022?
Non-dairy.
Other than curd,
okay.
Other than curd, yeah.
Okay, sure. They're roughly around 25% would be the contribution.
And sir, within this 25%, what would be the top two selling products if you could do? Like will it be ice creams and all?
I think your voice is slightly muffled. We are not able to hear you very well, Rohit. Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, sir. So, am I audible now?
Yes, much better.
Yeah. Usually you indicated 25% is products apart from curd. So within that 25%, what would be the major segments that are contributing to the revenues, the top two, top three products?
Yeah, it would be paneer, ice creams and drinkables would be the largest contributors in that. And drinkables, we have a long range of flavored milk, milkshakes, cold coffee, buttermilk, lassi.
Sir, and just one more question was that right now we'll be focusing only in the southern markets, right? Our existing markets, we'll be penetrating much deeper. We won't be getting into the north and western markets, right?
We have presence in Delhi, NCR, Mumbai and Pune, where we are deepening our presence rather than going horizontally. So you will see us more and more in parts of geographies of Mumbai and Pune and Delhi NCR. But yes, you're right. As percentage to our overall business, our business is still largely concentrated in the southern markets, especially AP Telangana, southern Karnataka, which is Bangalore and surroundings, and parts of Tamil Nadu.
Great, sir. So thank you so much and wishing you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I had one question regarding the upcoming flush season, which has been talked about by you and your competitors also. And what is we're seeing in the market is there's this disease going around, lumpy skin disease, which is affecting a lot of cattle and dropping yields all around on the of the cattle that survive. So will that have an impact on the upcoming flush season? Do you think that will be a pass because of the drop which you'll see in the yield?
Not really, because this year had great monsoon, heavy rains all over, and we expect green fodder availability to be higher, temperatures to be lower, and milk prices at farm gate being high. The interest of farmers is back, unlike the two COVID-affected years, where the farm gate prices were low and farmers' interest was also low in dairy. Now the interest is high and more care, and we see the nutrition supplies, etc. So we don't anticipate any such adverse impact on the yields in the coming flush season.
My question was with the specific rise of the disease, which was not something which we see normally in the industry.
We don't see that as a big impediment for milk production.
In fact, every season there is always, these last year in quarter two, quarter three, we saw foot and mouth disease in parts of Tamil Nadu. So don't think that there will be a big impact.
Okay, sir. Got it. Noted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. So my first question is on, the curd sales, right? So I think this is the highest ever curd sales that we've done. So the kind of growth that we have seen, what really drove that? Was it that, the demand in the market like came back in a big way after two lost summers? Or is it that, we've gained share from some organized or unorganized players? Or is it that, going deeper into existing markets is something that has brought us growth?
I think it's a fair question. I think it's a combination of all. Yeah. First of all, I think it was a great summer for not just for us. I think even many related industries as well. We were perfectly poised because we had been working on our correction of our portfolio, sales and distribution, our teams, organization structure, a lot of things. So we were in the right place at the right time. We were able to capture the opportunity. That's the way I'd like to put it. In addition to that, we had opened several new channels. For example, whether it is quick commerce, which is seeing significant growth this year compared to as a sub segment of e-commerce. So we were one of the first movers in quick commerce, which gave us a tremendous boost as far as sales is concerned. Even many of the geographies where we've been working to build presence, we have gone deeper this year. So it's a combination of all factors, Risha.
Right. And I think to some of the past participants, you did allude to, your execution plan, right? And the fact that, you all have been able to recruit new customers. So can you just elaborate a little bit more on this? So on the execution front, what has changed? What are we doing differently versus, let's say, some quarters or years ago? And which is helping us, get this kind of growth?
Not so much so that others can capture it. Just give.
Yeah, so see, I'll keep it at a very high level. Rest assured that we have very micro detailed plans that are being executed. But yes,
because I already mentioned quick commerce, I can confidently say, you know, I can probably speak about that. For example, today you can buy Heritage, and whether it is Dunzo, Zepto, Blinkit, Swiggy, Instamart, these are all channels that carry Heritage products and in most of the markets. Because we were one of the first movers, we have that advantage with those customer segments. Just one example. There are several other customer channel market combinations which we have opened up this year, which was not there in the previous years. Secondly, like I said, portfolio correction is something that we have done so that we know where the market is, where the manufacturing happens. We have fixed that to the extent that we have the right pack in the right channel in the right market. That strategic fit has been done, and today it is quite smooth. Third is, you know, we've been speaking about organizational structure, so we have the right capability of people in the right market in the right place. We have divided the portfolio into multiple route to markets. This is something we spoke about in the previous quarters. Earlier, we used to have large part of our business coming from milk agent network. Today, we have large professional FMCG distributors who take our products to our market. We also have alternate, we have strengthened our sales through Heritage owned parlors. We are also at this point in time building a unique distribution structure which is at very nascent stage but showing promising results. So working on, and that's what is giving us the results.
Right. And also, a related question, right? So I see that your Heritage distribution centers, you know, they've almost doubled sequentially, right? So from 65 to 121 in Q1. So anything to read here, and, so what kind of expansion are we looking at, and how is this, expected to help us in our top line growth further?
Yeah, the only thing to read there is good news. The future is bright.
Got it. But you know, this kind of aggression, we've not seen. So, you know, that's why was trying to understand a little bit, on your pace of expansion of Heritage distribution centers, and, you know, how that will help us in the revenue growth. Because I see that the number of parlors are the same while the distribution centers have doubled.
So, yes. So, distribution centers are parlors plus kind of concept. They are parlors as well as they also contribute to, creating distribution network. And, to be fair, last couple of years, that is from 2020 March till about March or April of 2021, life was difficult because of COVID restriction of movement. We even lost in certain markets. We had a little bit of a distribution shrinkage because some of our distribution partners stopping business during the pandemic and all of that. So that's the reason why you probably did not see much of an expansion in that period of about 18 months. But since August, June of 2021, we have been aggressively building working on these strategies, and it'll pay us a dividend in coming months and quarters.
Right, and if I can squeeze in the last one, you also spoke about nil fat revenues in this quarter. So structurally, is it possible? So I think historically, our fat revenues have been in the range of 8 to 10%, right? So structurally, is it possible that we bring down this number a little more, and because this is anyways a low margin kind of a business.
Can you repeat, Resha, your presumption? I couldn't get you. We said milk revenue flat.
No. Sorry. So I'll just repeat. So you did mention that, the fat revenues were almost nil for Q1.
Fat revenue. That was bulk fat.
Let me clarify. In the base quarter, which is quarter of FY22, quarter one, we had some revenues coming from bulk sale of butter and you know, bulk sale of fats. So just clarifying, there was a gentleman, I think it was Vikas, who asked the question, how much of it is repeatable sale and how much of it is one-time sale. So I just reassured him that we don't have any more one-time sale because we are doing everything as consumer products.
Yeah, in the last financial year, there was some surplus butter which was sold in the bulk packs, not in the consumer packs. That factor is not there in this year. This is where he was trying to present the changed scenario. Changed scenario. There is no institutional sale. There is no bulk sale. It is all consumer pack sale. In that context, he mentioned that.
Got it, got it. So now safe to assume that 90% plus would be B2C sales for us?
Yes.
By
90%.
Got it. Right. All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Rishan.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sneha Jain from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be, so will we always be dependent on the fluctuation of the milk prices? Like, if things go ahead like this, how are we planning to hedge ourselves against it?
There is the inbuilt nature of the business, the dairy sector. There are two seasons in a year, summer and winter. In winter season, animals yield more milk after the lactation cycle begins. As lactation cycle ends in summer season, the milk yield comes down. So availability of milk is dependent on the biological reproductive cycle of the animal, the beginning of the lactation to end of lactation. That synchronizes with winter and summer. And in summer, the sale consumption, consumer side consumption goes up, demand goes up because of the ambient temperatures being high in summer. So that puts more pressure in the summer season for more produce and more sales. As the winter, consumption comes down on the other hand because of the chill weather. So it reduces the demand. So it's a combination of availability and demand in a reverse manner in winter and summer. So as long as we depend on the fresh produce and we depend on fresh sales, this cycle I think is inevitable. There is no method of undoing this cyclical nature of the dairy business in India. Unless we go into the preserved products like UHTs or where you have long shelf life, we can undo the seasonality. But country being a fresh products business, consumers preferring only fresh products, and we don't have processing capacities in the country for handling entire year's production and then hold on for in ambient temperature for the next season. I don't see any possibility of hedging the price fluctuations in the next decade.
Yeah, that's it. If I could just add. So, that said, one of the strategies we had discussed and what we are working on in which where we are seeing significant progress is increasing value-added products portfolio. Now, the more and more value-added products that we have, we'll be able to decouple ourselves a little bit. And if I can explain, roughly 70 to 75% of the revenue that we get the raw material price or raw milk price would be about 70 to 75% of our net revenues. The more and more value-added product portfolio grows, the salience of raw milk to NR will keep reducing. So that's this one clear strategy that we have, which also helps us expand our margins. So that the impact of raw milk cyclicity will be reduced. But there is no way, or at least we as an Heritage alone cannot make much impact in terms of reducing the cyclicity of milk. That's nature of the industry. I hope together we have been able to answer your query.
Yes, so that was very helpful. Building on that, what are we planning? Like, what should be our future as in value-added products versus milk percentage in our revenue that we are looking at?
So last year we closed at 26.5%. And we said that in the next 3 to 4 years' time, we are planning to take it to 40%. And which means that a good milestone for us to have this year is about 31%. We are internally targeting that kind of jump in terms of value-added products contribution improvement. And this quarter, we have delivered 34.9%, roughly around 35%. But then, like President alluded to it, in the quarter two and quarter three, this value-added product portfolio comes down a little bit. So overall, this year we are expecting VAP contribution to jump significantly up from last year and on good way towards a 40% contribution in the next 3 years, 3 or 4 years.
Okay. So another thing, what do we have a vision for strengthening our business model going on from here on? Any thoughts on that?
It moves in the same direction. Like we are expanding ourselves in terms of back-end. We are expanding in the front-end and we are expanding value-added product sales. So they continue to grow every year on year with higher mix of value-added products.
Okay. And lastly, so I wanted to ask, like, you know, macroeconomic situation, basically the entire thing if we view in an entirety, what do you think would drive growth going ahead in the like coming quarters, at least in the near and the long term?
Yeah, it's only urbanization. As you know, we are all in the packed product segment in the urban areas, urban markets, and now we are also getting into suburbs or tier 1, tier 2 cities markets. So the urbanization is one factor where the milk is not available in a loose form anywhere, and the health consciousness which is shifting people towards the packed products coming from the brands where quality is taken care by the companies. And third is affordable income, increased income from the families, particularly the convenience also is one of the factors where making these products at home was possible once. But now everybody is under time pressure, so we ready to consume products are gaining ground. So you have population increase, urbanization, increased health awareness towards dairy products, and inclination for packed products for health reasons, and convenience of the product availability and access to products. And most of the consumers get home delivered today through various channels, and we are in the predominantly home delivery model with e-commerce. Without e-commerce also, our model is essentially home delivery model since beginning. So these are all the factors which continue to help us grow in the market irrespective of the major economic factors fluctuating. And this being one of the essential products and low cost source of nutrition, including protein.
So one last thing, any thoughts on how can we improve multiples compared to our other competitors who are like, might not play in the same field, but yeah, any thoughts on that?
Margins? Yeah, so,
I mean,
yes, please. Value multiples, right?
Yeah.
Sneha, is it, you're talking about value multiples?
Yes, sir, I'm talking about value multiples.
It's only our strengths, like in terms of growth, in terms of quality of the brand, and our strength in the balance sheet, our principles of governance. These are the factors which market has to perceive in right perspective and rate us.
Yeah, so we are, I think this question came up it comes up in most conversations. We are focused on our work. We'll continue to grow revenues and grow revenues profitably in the long term. We are building a value-added product portfolio. We are building a portfolio of brands which consumers love.
That's right. Thank you so much. That's been.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anupama Bhutra from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand what is the product mix like for FY23, revenue by milk, value added and fat in terms of percentage, and which is the highest margin contributor?
FY22, right? You're asking.
FY23, sorry, FY23.
23 is not ready, no?
No, she's asking quarter
one. Quarter one?
Yeah,
quarter one. So I heard 22. You are asking current quarter, Q1, 23?
Yeah, current quarter, Q1, product mix in terms of percentage. Or numbers, whatever.
Milk, 62% value terms. Milk, 62%. VAP, 33%. Fat, 3%. And other, actually, 2% others.
Okay. And one more question is, what is the CapEx that the company is planning for FY23 and FY24?
There is slight correction. Milk 60%, you can say. Okay. 60%. VAP 35%.
Okay.
Fat 3% and others 2%.
Okay.
Thank you.
And any CapEx plan, if you can like elaborate or quantify for FY23 and 24?
Yeah, generally, so we spending at about 120 crores per annum. So even coming years also, it is going to be around 120 crores per annum. Hello?
Hello, actually could not hear you. Can you repeat that CAPEX,
please?
Yeah, it is going to be 120 crores CAPEX per annum.
Oh.
Even coming to the year, it is going to be like that.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Digan Tharia from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. We always explained that, you know, margins in liquid milk are 6%, curd will be around 9%, and other value added will be around 12%. But I assume that, you know, that 12% in value added comes when we have scale in, those value added products. So I just wanted to check, have we achieved the, how far are we from that scale in funny drinkable ice cream, which are our three largest value added products after curd?
You're asking about contribution.
Growth or contribution?
No, she is asking about the profitability. Yeah, this quarter being an exceptional quarter because of the raw material prices, fuel prices, energy prices, packing material prices, and not passed on fully to the consumers, passed on in a staggered manner with a lag. So this quarter may not be a reference quarter for these numbers. We will perhaps give you a better picture as we go into the financial year.
Yep. Right. If I could just add, about 4.5 to 5% was the impact because of procurement price to sales price. So you can say that whether it is milk or value-added products, that 4 or 5% got negated because of that.
Right. But Shrijit, my question. My question is more. Let's assume that raw material fluctuation is not there. And even then in paneer, if we have to earn the 12% operating margin, we at least would need some scale. We may not achieve 12% margin at 20 crore revenue, but we may achieve that at 200 crore revenue. So I'm just asking that on that scale level, have we reached that critical mass in these two or three value-added products like drinkables, paneer and ice cream, that we can actually someday see that 12% margin, when there's a raw material stability?
Yeah, maybe we will get into this next round, next quarter or next following quarters. It's not really readily available that. And we also didn't see that perspective as we were going through an abnormal price scenario. But I'll certainly assure you we'll explain next time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Disha from Anvil. Please go ahead. Disha, I'm sorry. This is the operator. I'm sorry, we cannot hear you.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, since we are entering the flush season, we expect with the lower milk prices, our margins to go up from here on. That's the first question. Second, what is the margin difference between our liquid milk and value-added portfolio? And third question is on our subsidiary Heritage Nutrivite. We have an ambition to achieve 500 crores sales. So if you can throw some light on that. Thank you.
Yeah, first one, yes, milk procurement prices are expected to cool off as flush begins. Flush typically begins towards end of September, beginning of October. That's the season we have to watch out for. And the second one, the difference between the liquid milk margins and value-added product margins at a consolidated level will be almost double. The milk to products margins would be double in any season. And coming to Heritage Nutrivet's growth ambitions, I request CEO Mr. Upendra Pandey to elaborate a bit.
Thank you, sir. So we have done roughly around 100 crore business last financial year, and our outlook is that we want to grow with 25-30% kind of year-on-year growth in next few financial year. And we have our strategies in place. We have two state-of-the-art plant, and our captive business is growing well. So we are focusing on deeper penetration in our captive network. At the same time, we are also expanding in our general trade business, having the right product, right market, right channel. So that we are quite hopeful that we will be able to achieve the growth numbers which we are able to.
Okay. Okay. So when you mentioned that the flush season will start from September and October, so we'll have the margin, positive margin impact from Q2 onwards, or we have to wait for Q3?
Something has kicked in Q2 also, but the real flush and the best price scenario, best production scenario will emerge from October.
Okay. Thank you so much. And when we say that we want the 40% value added, sir, what overall margin guidance do we say on the overall portfolio in coming 3 years?
Perhaps it would not alter much because of that increased contribution, as there is a cost of growth during that period. So post stabilizing at a particular level, we can look for an alteration in the overall margin structure.
Okay, so earlier you had mentioned that we would have a 6,000 turnover with 40% value added with 8% margin. Is that assessment, I mean, right? We are going on the same.
Yeah, that is the ambition.
Ambition, yeah. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I would like to hand the conference over to Dr. M. Sambasava Rao for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your valuable time in joining us for this call and also sharing your thoughts. The company is confident in creating sustainable value for its stakeholders. And we thank you all for your continued interest and faith in us. Please do contact Dickenson World or us directly should you have any further queries. I wish you all a great evening, and I look forward to reconnecting with you for the next call after Q2. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.